What I want to do, and I started on it a couple weeks ago, and then we missed last week, so part of this will be a review, and then we're going into something that you're going to have to think about. How many realize that the body of Christ has a major work to do? There are claims that there's 1 billion Christians in the world, 1 billion out of 6 billion. We're not gaining with the population growth. So if you ran a business and it kept going down and down and down and down, what would you make some changes? If not, you'd be bankrupt shortly. I believe the church has focused on a bunch of rules, a bunch of things that if you don't think the way I do, if you don't live the way I do, if you don't act the way I do, then you're not part of us. I believe that many Christians have quit practicing what they used to preach as far as their relationship with God goes. And so what do? We just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? Somebody said if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you're going to get the same results, and it's actually insanity. So my one point this morning, if you don't get what I'm saying, we have to live like the God wants us to live who's living in us. It's time we honestly take a look and say, God, how are you going to reach this people? He's not going to reach it by compromise, and neither are we, because he's not going to compromise. Amen. And so in this body, and you heard me say it a couple weeks ago, and we have the book, if anybody wants to read it, Culture of Honor. We need to develop a culture of honor toward God and toward everyone we come in contact with. And unless that happens, there's going to be a lot of people who look at us and say, yeah, they might be this, but I don't want any of it. I've been reading this week couple of different books, but this verse kept coming to mind, and I just pray it gets hold of us. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. How are we going to do that? Because you know something? It's not God's duty to do it. It's ours.
That's right.
I want you to think about that. God has commissioned us to reach people for him.
That's right.
And we don't want to say it, but it's in our minds that, God, if you really want to save that person, you'll do it. And God is saying, I want you, when I tell you to, go talk to that person and lead them to me. And so let's just think for a moment. And I'm just getting ready to preach. There's no extra charge for this. How many of us have just given up on some people? How many of us have just looked at people and say they'll never get saved? And how many of us walk by people we know we should be in contact with, we know that we should be talking to, And we've thrown up our hands and said, it's not going to happen. Do you know something? You may be sitting here this morning and people gave up on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do we resemble that? But whoever walks in this building need to be honored, respected, accepted, ministered to. Okay, let's do something. I want you all to change places with somebody. No, I don't. But you know, it's totally human to have favorites that you want to be around. But it's not totally spiritual. You say, whoa, what are you talking about? If I'm just going to hang with a couple people at the forsaking of everybody else, I'm missing God. If I look at you this morning because I know your past and I'm looking at you and I'm not honoring you and I don't want to be around you, after all, your sin may rub off on me, I'm sick spiritually. Do you realize Jesus didn't go to the religious? He went to the sinners. That was one thing they accused him of. He's a friend of sinners. He fellowships with wine drinkers. And secondly, thirdly, or fourthly, when you walk out of here today, I want you to know that you're valuable, you have purpose, and you have a reason to live, regardless of what anybody else has ever told you. The word honor has meanings for man and has meanings for God. The word honor to God means to glorify, to honor as glorious, references his character and attributes, his excellent perfection, and his divine majesty. He is worthy of honor. Amen?
Amen.
He is worthy of our praise and our glory and our worship. And we adore him. Jesus in John 17 prayed to his Father because as he came to earth, he gave up his glory. He says, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Glorify me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are worthy of honor. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that they beheld his glory full of grace, or the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. It was a glory of God that manifested his grace and his truth. How many of you ever heard God lives in us? Did you ever hear that? Did you ever ask Jesus into your heart? Okay, we'll get back to that. So honor to mankind. How many of you are a mankind? Honor to mankind refers to something precious, prized, cherished, valuable, and respected. This is from the Greek. Let me go over that again. Precious, prized, cherished, valuable, and respected. How many of you look at people that way? Or how many of you feel that way? How many look at yourself and realize that God sees value in you? That God sees that you're precious. I don't care what your past has been. Well, I do, but not really. Under the blood is gone.
Amen.
So we walk around and we live and we think and we act and we just kind of exist. And you know something? If you don't look at yourself as being valuable, most likely you won't honor anybody else as being valuable.
That's right.
And so we come to a place, if God lives within us, and even if God does not live within us, if we haven't asked Him to, God looks at you and He respects you and He values you and you're prized and you're precious in His eyes. How do you know that? Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you so that you could be honored by Almighty God and be part of His family. And so we walk around and we look at things and we act like, man, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I have no glory. Do you realize that's a lie? Do you realize that 1 Corinthians 15 tells you there's a glory of the celestial or the heavenly and there's a glory of the terrestrial, the earthly? They have their glory. God made you to have glory. But He also made you to be honored. And if nobody else will do what He does, and He's looking at us and He's saying, I want to build my church, but when I bring people, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the Lord added daily to the church such as were being saved. He wants to build His kingdom. He wants to build His church through us. But He expects us to act toward people as He does.
Yes, amen.
And so we come to a place where we make some choices. Gotta love them. Want to love them. Amen?
Amen.
Want to demonstrate value. Want to demonstrate you're important. Want to serve them like anybody else. Why? Because God sees them a lot different than people do.
That's right.
And God sees you differently than you see yourself. And so when the body of Christ comes together and we start looking at people of having value and worthy of respect, even though they haven't lived the most perfect life. None of us have. And we start standing up and saying, yeah, we want you here. We honor you. We love you. We accept you. We'll give you a hug. You may not have had a bath for a month, but what is to us? Have you? And so we start living this life with our preferences of people. And I'm not saying don't have friends, please. You have friends in your home, you have friends. I'm saying don't have friends at the exclusion of other people that are coming. The body of Christ is exactly that. It's his body. And if people come in here and they don't feel they have value and they don't feel accepted and they don't feel loved, I have a note here. I'm not going to read it to you. But I have a note here from a gal in the church this morning who just needed to be loved. Just needed somebody to care. Putting value on people gives them hope, not the wishful thinking Ray was thinking about, but the expectation of something good. And when you start looking at your life as God sees it, when you start realizing, I'm not here to shun people, I'm not here to hurt people, I'm not here to kill the wounded that Satan is trying to destroy, I'm not here to have any kind of thing in my life where I'm going to avoid you and I'm not going to talk to you and I'm going to do this, and I come to a place that people are valuable and I love them and I'm going to minister to them and I'm going to honor them. Katie, bar the door. And you've done a good job. I'm really proud of the people of this body, but we can do more. As we start seeing people the way God sees them. Why should we do that? After all, we're just human. Right? You just human? No, you don't know. How many of you are just human? Really? So, God that lives within you hasn't changed anything. You're still just human. You are a supernatural being. Amen. Come on. You are a supernatural being created in Christ Jesus that has never existed on this planet before Jesus died and came into our lives. Right? God just put some super to our natural. That's right. I'm going to take you down a little road. And bear with me. I'm going to talk about some things maybe I'm so out of bounds I should be just closing. What kind of relationship did God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have? Turn with me to John 14. Verse number 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Interesting. Jesus is talking about his relationship with the Father. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Can you accept that? So Jesus actually came not only just to die for our sins, but to manifest to people his Father. John 10, 37 and 38. John 10, 37 and 38. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe that the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. We okay? The Father is now in heaven. Jesus is here. But the Father's in me, and I in him. The Bible says there's three that agree in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. But we know there are three. When you are one with your wife, you're still two. Right? But you're one. When you got married, you and your wife are one. And so we come to a place where the Father and the Son are one. Now, can we believe and can we accept that they live in us? So, if Jesus walked beside you every day, could you love and accept everybody? If God the Father was with you all the time, and the Holy Spirit and the Son, would you meet people that you despised or didn't like? Or would you adopt what they're doing? If the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were with you constantly, could you forgive people? I'm not tricking you. I'm taking you down a road because we make everything so difficult. Look at John 14 one more time. Verse number 22, 23, 24. And Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anybody loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home, what? With him. Where's your residence? Do you realize that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit residence is in you? Is this what the Bible says? I'm not trying to stretch anything. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm not trying to... I just want you to understand that the things that God has told us and asked of us are absolutely possible because he does it through us. And we just give up on things real quick. We just come to a place, well, that's not possible. How in the world could I like Glenn? Or how could he like me? Oh, sure, here, give me that. Oh, man, of course. You're my buddy. Curtis just puked. But you see, we feel and we come to a place, yeah, Jesus could do this. Jesus can live this life. Jesus can walk it out. Jesus could do all these things because he had the Father and the Holy Spirit with him, in him, and he was supernatural. Of course he was. There's no doubt about it. But what about us? So Jesus praying before he goes to the cross. Kind of important, don't you think? Just kind of important prayer. You know, he's going to die. He's going to be nailed. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be spit upon. He knows all this stuff. He's tried to get it through the disciples and hasn't got through. Now he's in the garden. He's going to die. They're going to come and get him. Next chapter they do. What's he thinking about? Thinking about us. He's going to die in the garden. They're going to crucify him. And he's talking to his Father, and he says this: "As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify..." Oh, 17, 19, 18, 19. Chapter 17, I'm sorry. "As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. I do not pray for these alone," or I'm not praying for these 12 alone, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Their word's been handed down. We believe through the word that the Holy Spirit gave them. Amen? Amen. Now, listen to this. "That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they also may be one in us." Us. "That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them." Hello. One time. The glory that the Father gave his Son, the Son has given to his body. Why? "So that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be one, perfect in one, and the world may know that you sent me." My excuses, my "I can't do it," my "I'm not worthy," my "I have no value," and all the other things I think about are blown out of the water. They're blown out of the water. Because the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God lives in me. And he has made me supernatural, given us supernatural abilities a supernatural love, a supernatural compassion, a supernatural mercy. I no longer see people through Dwight's eyes. We begin to see them through God's eyes. And you know something? When you realize you don't have to do it, but God's doing it through you, it makes it easier. When you realize God never expected you to live this life without a supernatural being living within you, giving you strength, letting you know that even when you fail, He loves you. Not ready to punish you. But bring you in. Encourage you. Help you. Strengthen you. Give you purpose. Keep in front of you the destiny, the goal. Makes me want to dance. You see, we get so down on ourselves. We get so down on God. We get so down on the Christian life. After all, we got issues and we got problems and nothing really changes. And this goes on and that goes on and we deal with our kids. I know none of you do. Just me. And it seems so hard. Really? Or do we just make it hard? Is it difficult to trust somebody who lives in you? Is it difficult to communicate with a God who indwells you? Is it difficult to get His attention when He's living here? Okay, one question. You can stone me. You can pick up your stones now. Do you want a God who feels sorry for you, or do you want a God that empowers you? I know you didn't shout, but it's a good question. Do you just want someone who identifies with your weakness, which Jesus did? Do you want someone who's acquainted with grief and can identify with your grief? And that's fine. But don't you want someone who empowers you to get through everything you have to face and get over everything you're going through? I don't want to be babied by God.
Amen.
I want to be empowered by God.
Amen.
And if all I'm going after is sympathy, I can get that any place. I can go to the bar and have someone feel sorry for me. I want to be empowered. I want the Holy Spirit active. I want God alive in my being and controlling it. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to see life change. I want to love the people that are cast away. And those are up and out and down and out. It doesn't matter who. And I'm serious as I can be. I'm not just pontificating, whatever that word means. What does that mean, Kirk? Never heard it before. I'm not being the Pope. but it becomes your choice. People come in here, let's be so full of God, they can't come in here without being changed. Let's make it easy for Kirk and Marnie. Let's not give them a spiritual hernia trying to get us to worship. They've carried us for a long time. It's time we carry them. Amen. Give them a hand. It's true. Amen. With God in us, there's no limits. I believe we need to have no limit Christianity.
Amen.
No limits. And you know something? He's chosen us to do it together. It's not just about pastor. My word, don't ever think that. And Mom never called me pastor. She had a lot of other names. She liked to swing a broom. But here we are. Where are you in this? Where are we at? It just comes to a place. And man, it's been a great couple of weeks. I just come in the morning and sit down, and after I do my Bible reading and just, God, it's about you. It's just about you. Let me challenge you. You don't need to spend an hour. Take 10 minutes in the morning to start with, or 5 minutes, and just talk to God. Designate your place, that secret place that the Bible talks about, and just spend that time with God. Because God that's in you wants to talk to you. And He's so gracious and so loving. And I don't have to defend anything He's done. But He wants you in the deepest relationship you've ever been with Him. And you don't have to go very far to get more of Him. He's right here. All we need to do is let Him manifest and give us revelation. And He'll do it.